I'm Justin.
I'm Teresa.
And this is True Country.
Today on the show, we have Zach Farnham. The entertainment business isn't just something that Zach is merely interested in. It's a passion that drives him to work for his clients, who range from Country Music Hall of Fame members such as Bobby Bear and Randy Travis, to legendary multi-genre icons like Jerry Lee Lewis. The Rhode Island native stresses that he is intrigued by many facets of the music business. As founder, president, and CEO of 117 Entertainment Group, Zach specializes in publicity and marketing campaigns for musicians, events, and brands, as well as artist management and development. 117 Entertainment is one of the fastest rising companies in Nashville and recognized by industry professionals across the country with a major presence in New York and LA. Zach serves on several boards and committees, including the board for the Nashville Association of Talent Directors, and holds memberships in several organizations, including the CMA, ACM, and the Recording Academy. Zach Farnham, welcome to True Country.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I don't think I've ever heard my bio read out loud. So.
It's a long one, so congratulations.
Sounds pretty impressive,
man,
huh?
It's, well, besides the fact that, I'm embarrassed by it, but I love it because my friend Chuck Dauphin wrote it a couple of years ago, and he unfortunately passed away last month, and I don't think I can ever replace my bio now, because just hearing you read it brings back memories of Chuck.
That's cool. Well, let me say this. We like to start this off with a random icebreaker question. So my question for you is, if you could do your job from anywhere in the world other than Nashville, where would it be?
On a beach with a margarita and sun and about, let's say, 82 degrees.
All right. That's pretty specific, and that sounds good.
We definitely never fed you that question early, so that was great. Well, let's.
Oh, I thought about it.
Awesome.
About it.
You think about it every day, I'm sure.
Especially now that it's 30 degrees in Nashville.
Gosh. Yep. Here comes the cold. Well, let's kind of dive into how you got started, and then tell us a little bit about what your goal or intent was when you did get started in the music industry.
So I moved down to Nashville, not really knowing anybody in town. I had met a couple people just through going to shows up in Rhode Island. One of those people being Randy Travis's steel guitar player, Steve Henson, who I kind of kept in touch with, but for all intents and purposes, I moved down here not knowing anyone and came down for college, and I studied communications with a minor in music business. And I just kind of dove right in when I got here. I borrowed a buddy's car and went to every show I could. And then second semester of college, figured out I needed a car down here. So then I got my own and just kind of met the right people and, tried to climb the ladder of life and figure out who my friends were and who I could trust. And just kind of grew it from there. I think my original intent when coming down was to be an artist manager, but that quickly changed when I figured out the path I was taking was more in the publicity realm for the time being. And figured out that even though I hated writing, I guess I was okay at it. And people wanted me to write stuff for them and create copy and help with social media and stuff like that. So I kind of fell into the publicity path through that.
So did you play any instruments, or it was strictly you moved down? Because you're the first person we've talked to where you didn't play any instruments. You weren't necessarily writing songs, but you moved down strictly for the management and business side of it.
Yeah, I mean, I had always loved to sing, although not great at it. And I have an uncle who was a singer and kind of did some local singing competitions. So I started just helping him out or trying to get him to do things. And I became interested in the business side of it through that. And I had always loved country music, and I got to studying about Reba McEntire's career, actually, and the background behind her career. And I discovered her then husband and manager, Narvel Blackstock. And I kind of opened this whole world of, wow, there's a back end of the music business mm-hmm. that I never thought about before. And you don't have to have musical talent to be in it. So it seemed like a good fit for someone that didn't know how to play an instrument and couldn't sing worth a lick. And that's sort of what started the journey. I did pick up guitar when I moved to college. And I can pick a little now, but,
that's cool.
Yeah, I didn't really, you know, I had tried instruments and it just never worked.
And what was it specifically about the management side that you didn't start gravitating towards and you started going more towards? I know you said you write very well and all of that, but was there a certain aspect of the management side that you didn't like or kind of turned you off?
No, actually, it was just, I had had internships and started a blog in college, so it just, I naturally fell towards the publicity side. I always, you know, intended to go back to management, and I since have, but I got the connections on the publicity side to where I worked my way up through that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And then as far as strategy, let's talk that. So you're in there. I'm assuming you maybe went to Belmont or Vanderbilt. Where'd you go down there?
I actually went to Trevecca Nazarene University. It's a small school. Great music business program. Largely centered around Christian music, CCM.
Mm-hmm.
But so I had to work a little harder to get into the country world, but they provided me a lot of great capabilities, I guess, to get into that, you know? Nice.
And then, so you graduate from college, you're making connections, you're meeting people, you're kind of seeing how the sausage is made behind the scenes. How does that start to actually come to fruition? This plan starts coming together, you're meeting people, and now you're actually representing real artists.
Just through a few different jobs that I had taken, some independent consulting, and then a couple of actual physical jobs working at PR firms where I started representing corporate clients and events and festivals and nonprofits, and then it eventually worked my way into being assigned Charlie Daniels, and then from there it just kind of snowballed. I got Randy Travis because he was going into the Hall of Fame at the same time Charlie Daniels was. So, and then, you know, I just kind of got artists loaded onto me from there. There was a point in which I think I had 26 clients on my roster at one of the companies I worked for.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun, but you know, I just, like I said, I met a lot of great people and a lot of people that were nice enough to want to help me and introduce me to people that needed, you know, something I could help them with or wanted to teach me to help them.
That's awesome.
It's all this industry. It's all about helping each other. In my opinion, we're all trying to build artists, we're trying to build brands. How can we work together to do that?
That's awesome. You know? Yeah. I think if you go into it with that mindset, absolutely, just kind of that giver's mindset and that service attitude, I think that's absolutely when you find the success. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, we always ask our guests, what was the lowest point in your journey so far? I know you've been in various avenues and you've been at it for a while. What would you say was the lowest point, and then how did you overcome that?
Well, I think when you're a business owner, and eventually I did branch out and start 117, I think 2.5 years ago now, when you're a business owner, it can feel very alone at times. So if you surround yourself with people that don't necessarily have your best interest in heart, in their minds, which I think I did at one point, I made my circles so big that I allowed in people that didn't have the same mindset as I did, mm-hmm. and didn't want to see me succeed or the people around me succeed. And I think that it essentially at some point that comes to a head, and, mm-hmm. and you got to clear out those people and figure out who your friends are, like I said, and mm-hmm. how you can best put together your quote unquote personal board of directors. Mm-hmm. You know?
Would you say that those people were more or less leeching off of the success that you were having, or were they kind of sabotaging you because they were maybe jealous of the success you were having?
I don't know if anybody does anything. I prefer to think that people don't do things knowingly. Don't do negative things knowingly. So I don't think I'd take the negative approach there and say that they were sabotaging or they were leeching. I think just situations didn't match up.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives were on different paths. And, mm-hmm. I don't wish any less of them, and I hope they don't wish any less for me. I think our paths just weren't meant to walk together, you know?
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, let's switch gears and talk about something a little bit more upbeat. What would you say so far has been your highest point in this journey?
Man, there are, the good thing is there's so many more high points and low points.
That's always good.
Yes, that's awesome.
I think any time, you know, the highest points come when you win with your artists.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's at getting them a deal, or it could even be as small as booking, you know, working with the agencies to get a booking on a big festival, or, you know, it could be something bigger like a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the PR side, it could be something as small as getting an independent artist their first, you know, their first feature on a country blog that has a lot of clout. And mm-hmm. then it could be something like getting an artist with a hit song on Good Morning America. You know, mm-hmm. I think the wins, the high points are they're kind of all over the place. I don't know if I can put my finger on
mm-hmm.
just one, because we're also, I'm endlessly searching for a new high point. So mm-hmm. I want to just keep succeeding and see those wins have a positive effect on the client's career overall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, and I think that's too partially, you know, learning from things that you've done in the past, I think help create more of those high moments. And that's really exciting. That's awesome.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of personal high points, like, you know, stuff that and I hate name dropping, and I don't want to name drop because I
but
think
here they
everybody
come.
Has, no, everybody has their own personal things, you know. But
yeah.
To me, it's really cool for a kid from Rhode Island who had no connections or knew nobody in the country music industry to like be recognized by Garth Brooks backstage at the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like that's a big personal high point mm-hmm. for me, and I don't care who thinks I'm name dropping.
No, absolutely,
you know,
man.
That's a cool thing.
That's
and
really
I think
cool.
We should value that. You know,
absolutely.
Yes. Well, and just as an entrepreneur, you know, I mean, that's something that you're doing, and you're building this business and you're working for your clients. And so, yes, those moments like that, I think, are really big personal highs because you don't have other people that are doing that recognition for you because you are the owner, you're the business owner. And that's really exciting.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't think we do what we do for recognition, but
no,
it's good when you can, in your own mind, recognize what you've done well. I think that's what keeps you going.
Mm-hmm.
And that humility is going to keep you going too.
Well, thank you. I I have not always had humility, and I've tried really hard to make that the forefront of my life lately. So
awesome.
I appreciate that.
Awesome.
I will. I should say this because I alluded to it earlier. I think the recent high point of my career, personally for me, was I said earlier I had met Randy's steel guitar player Steve Henson in Massachusetts when I went to a Randy Travis show in high school, and he encouraged me to move to Nashville, and among other people. But all these years later, over the last couple of weeks, he and I have gotten to spend time together on the road for the Music of Randy Travis tour. And it's a personal high point to see that all come full circle, and know that, you know, a guy that I met 7-8 years ago, we've stayed in touch over that, and now our paths have crossed. You know, that's a really cool
thing. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Well, I know you've been at it for a little while, but, you know, not as long as some other people. And of course, the music industry continues to change. With kind of all the knowledge that you have right now as a business owner and where you're at, is there anything that you would do differently if you were just starting out now, or would you have kind of followed the same path?
You know, I could go through and nitpick certain little things, slip ups or mistakes, but in reality, I think it would be naive to do any of those differently, because I'm a big believer in you learn more from your mistakes than you do from your successes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's anything I would have done differently other than, you know, maybe listen more, especially the people that I got to spend time with that are no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of legends that I had gotten to meet, whether on the business side or in the or on the performing side, that I got to hear a lot of really great stories from, and wish I could retain those, and I wish I'd listened more to those.
Awesome.
But, you know,
yeah,
like I said, you learn from your mistakes.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of stories, what would you say the best story you've heard is since you've been in the music business, or that you've been, you know, a part of?
There's so many.
I bet.
I mean, I cherish the times in college that I spent with Jan Howard, who's a Grand Ole Opry legend and a dear friend of mine, that just shared tons of stories about her time with, married to Harlan Howard, and her work with Johnny Cash, and being friends with Tammy Wynette. I mean, amazing stories there. I'm looking at a picture of her and Vince Gill and I on the wall right now.
Awesome.
That made me think of that. But I think any story Jerry Lee Lewis related is probably going to be the best story I've heard, because he's had such an insane life and such an incredible life. And so I've heard a lot of stories, not sure which ones are true. I usually don't ask him for verification on them. I just kind of file them away. Some of the stories are very public, and some of them, you know, not so much. Some of them involve things we can't talk about on this podcast. But, yeah, I don't know if there's a specific story. You know, I think anything, being on the road with clients is always a blast, because those are the moments where I'll be telling those stories, hopefully in 50 years to some other little kid that's trying to make it.
Yeah, that's great.
And being on the road, you mentioned Randy Travis, and we all, I think all of us know what happened with Randy and his recovery and what's going on now. Tell us a little bit more about what's going on with your company now, with Randy, with his tour, everything else you got going on.
Oh, there's so much going on. We had a client release a single today. We've got 3 singles coming out in November, a Christmas song, a music video. Randy has been on the Music of Randy Travis tour. We did 3 dates in October.
Great.
And hopefully more to announce soon.
How's his voice doing?
Randy is doing really well. He's still going through, you know, rehabilitation and everything following the stroke. But so he's not singing at the concerts, but we've got a great kid named James Dupre, who's a really good friend of Randy and Mary's, that is singing all of his hits. And audiences are loving his voice and his performances. And it's just been a lot of fun. Randy's loving being back on the road with his band because it's all the original band.
Very cool.
So we're really, Mary's having a blast. We're all having fun. You know, I got to go out to the three shows. One show was here at the Ryman Auditorium, but they've all been pretty close to sold out, if not sold out. So
nice.
Audiences, like I said, really love it, and everybody wants us to go to more markets, so hopefully we'll be able to do that.
Well, I grew up on Randy Travis, like many millions of other people, so he's the man in my view. And being from Texas too, and yeah, he's absolutely one of the greats. For those listening out there, kind of tell them what someone in your position does on a daily basis if they don't know already. You alluded to some of it already about writing PR and doing that, but you know, what's your day to day like? What's your team look like? Who handles what?
So every day is different for what we do for our clients day to day. I think for our PR clients, we're handling everything from their publicity for their new project, so getting the word out to people like you guys and writers and TV bookers, trying to figure out how can we tell people about this awesome new song, single, album, tour, whatever it may be, booking talent on TV shows, setting up magazine features, setting up podcast interviews, radio interviews, working with radio teams. Every team we're on has a different structure and different players. So while we have our internal team, which is me and a publicist, Aaron, and a day-to-day manager to handle our management clients, Max, we are actually all on, like, you know, however many teams it is now, I think 15 clients. And so we all have different roles and we're all doing different things. On the management side, it's way more day-to-day as far as tour routing and tour marketing, and then negotiating deals and navigating pitfalls. And so every day is totally different.
Are you actually booking the shows
and
yourself?
I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's great.
are you actually?
No.
Yeah. Or do you work? Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Or do you work with different booking agencies and try to, you know, get those routes together?
Most of our clients have booking agents, and we work with them to, you know, I basically the management side of things, I just kind of oversee the routing and make sure it all makes sense financially. A booking agent is working with a ton of different artists, and I just have to make sure that the shows we're confirming that the agents are getting are make sense for the artists.
Gotcha.
You know,
yep.
So the agents we work with are all amazing. I think agents are one of the most important parts of an artist's career. We have a lot of great partners at every agency that we work with. And of course, as you mentioned, I'm on a board, the Nashville Association of Talent Directors, where I get to work with a lot of those agents on that board. And it's a cool part of the business. I think if I wasn't in management or PR, I would do booking, because I think it's a really, really important part of the business.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, one of the things that we love about this podcast is that we do talk to artists who are kind of in the front lines. We talk to the musicians who are going on tour, the songwriters, and then the business side, the industry professionals like you that give us another perspective on things. And so one of the questions that we ask at the end of our interviews is, what does true country mean to you?
Well, I think it all boils down to three things. authenticity, relatability, and real stories. I think if you can target two or three of those things, you're true country.
That's awesome. And that is true country to Zach Farnham.
Well, Zach, before we let you go, we are going to put you on the world famous True Country shot clock. You're going to have 30 seconds to answer all six questions. So are you ready, sir?
I am so ready.
We shall see. All right, let's begin. What is the nickname for your favorite instrument?
Reba.
What is the instrument?
Classic.
Yep. What is the instrument you wish you could play?
Acoustic guitar. I'd say piano. What obviously, since I work with Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah. What is the best concert you ever attended?
Oof. Chris Stapleton a couple of years ago in Massachusetts. I went to Garth Brooks last year at Bridgestone. I mean, Garth Show. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yep. Whose tour bus would you like to hang out on?
Oof. Oof. That...
You better hurry.
Billy Joel or Cher?
Ooh, okay.
I'm gonna go with that.
You can only listen to three artists for the rest of your life. Who would they be?
Reba McEntire, Garth Brooks, and Randy Travis. Don't get more real than that.
That's right. And last question. What is Toby Keith drinking in his red Solo cup?
I know from personal experience it's whiskey.
All right.
Boom. We actually have someone with verification. That's great. You'd be shocked at some of the answers we get.
That's awesome.
Don't tell him I told you that.
Yeah, he won't hear this. Yeah, we're good.
One day when he's on this show, we can ask him himself.
There you go.
Well, tell us where people can find you and find out about 117 Entertainment.
Well, social media is obviously the thing. We're all over that. Just search 117 Entertainment. And then our website is 117group.com. GROUP.com.
Awesome. Sounds great.
And I'm on Instagram at Zach Farnham.
Perfect. All right. Well, if y'all enjoyed the interview today with Zach, be sure to check out the rest of our True Country podcast interviews. Like us, follow us, rate us, review us, and you can find out more about us and hear other episodes like this great episode today on TrueCountryPodcast.com.
And Zach, once again, on behalf of my lovely wife, Teresa, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, sir.
Man, thank you guys. This was so much fun. Glad to do it.
Thank you.
Well, I am Justin Mason.
And I am Teresa.
And this is True Country.